You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
Much of Scotland, the United Kingdom and Europe as a whole was shocked when Scotland First Minister Nicola Sturgeon announced her resignation recently. Sturgeon has been incredibly vocal on the Scottish independence movement, having seen the country through a failed referendum in 2014 and renewed efforts recently in the coming out of the Brexit agreement. This and more has been taking place over the last week in Europe, as reported by BFM European correspondent Cameron Adams. First up, he gave us an update on the war in Ukraine.
Fighting is continuing in Bakhmut, with Ukrainian forces conceding that they are losing territory to Russian forces slowly. NATO has today announced more support for Ukraine, pledging 48 more Leopard 2 tanks and stating to boost ammunition output. It's reported that Ukraine is firing up to 10,000 artillery shells a day, which is draining Western inventories.
Scottish politics was rocked today by the shock announcement of First Minister Nicola Sturgeon's resignation. What happened?
Yeah, it was a shock this morning as Scotland's First Minister Nicola Sturgeon resigned, saying that, quote, in my head and in my heart, it was the right time to step down. She spoke of the brutality of modern politics and its personal toll on her, and that in the interest of the SNP and Scotland, she will step down. She's been a senior leader within the SNP for almost 20 years. She was the Deputy First Minister from 2007, and after the failed 2014 referendum on Scottish independence, became the leader and First Minister. She's been a strong campaigner for Scottish independence, and following Brexit has been pushing for a second vote and being seen as kind of one of the faces, or the face of Scottish independence.
So what does this mean for Scottish politics?
Yeah, well, it comes at a critical time in the independence campaign. In January, a transgender rights law that was passed in the Scottish Parliament was blocked by UK Prime Minister Rishi Sunak under the Scotland Act. And in November, the Supreme Court also ruled against a unilateral referendum on Scottish independence. Both of those actions were used by Sturgeon to campaign on the need for Scottish independence, claiming that the rulings were an attack on Scottish democracy. So next month, the SNP have a conference, or they're supposed to have a conference, on how to approach a second referendum. And I'd say that it will still be campaigned for, but maybe the aggressive timeline pursued by Sturgeon might be lengthened.
Who could be the next leader of the SNP?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. There's not really a clear successor. There are three top contenders. So John Swinney, the current Deputy First Minister. However, he had a difficult time as SNP leader in the 2000s. There also could be the current Finance Secretary, Kate Forbes, who's currently on maternity leave. However, she's an active member of an evangelical Scottish church and has previously spoken out against abortion. And then there's the former Westminster leader of the SNP, Angus Robertson. But I mean, it's anyone's guess, really. It's up to the party members to nominate and then vote on a new leader, and it could take weeks or months.
So over in France, strikes and demonstrations are continuing over plans to raise the retirement age. What are people's concerns?
Yeah, strikes have been growing since the announcement of French Prime Minister Elizabeth Borne last month to raise the retirement age in France from 62 to 64 by 2030, with up to a million people protesting across the country on Saturday against the plans. It's been a campaign promise of President Emmanuel Macron since 2017. And after another election win last year, he's determined to push through the change. And while you might think the win was a mandate for this change, many voters reluctantly voted for him to prevent the far-right Marie Le Pen from getting the presidency. The changes would also remove special retirement options for some public workers. It's estimated that extending the age would provide an additional 17 billion euros in pension payments. So there are concerns that it would overly hurt the poor and those working in manual labour, and that instead wealthy households and big companies should be taxed more to offset the rising pension costs. One of Macron's own ministers was quoted as saying that it would, quote, leave women a little penalised.
Is it likely to actually stop the increase?
Probably not. I mean, although they may get some concessions similar to what the Yellow Jackets protest got with regard to the fuel tax. In theory, Macron's party could ram through the legislation, even though they have a minority in Parliament. However, they're still looking for the support of other right-wing parties. It's currently under examination by French parliamentary committees, which could propose some minor changes, and the law is expected to pass by September. In response, there's another transport strike tomorrow, and unions have been calling for a wider strike on March 7th. The last time pensions were raised was in 2010 under Nicolas Sarkozy. That was from 60 to 62 and also caused widespread protests and strikes.
And in Portugal, a report detailing sexual abuse in the Catholic Church was recently released. What was in the report?
At least 4,800 children were sexually abused by members of the Portuguese Catholic Church over the past 70 years. That's according to a newly released report commissioned by the Catholic Church and spoke to more than 500 victims. This comes after allegations last year of the Portuguese Catholic Church involved in cover-ups of sexual abuse, including bishops who remain active in the church. Over three quarters of the perpetrators were priests, and more than half of the victims were men, with abuse happening in churches, schools, and other locations. The majority of victims were aged between 10 to 14, with the youngest being two. It's stated that this is the absolute minimum number of victims. Only 25 cases have been passed to public prosecutors after most crimes have fallen past the statute of limitations. The report has called for decisive action by the judiciary, psychological care for the victims, and a suspension of the statute of limitations. There's a meeting on March 3rd by Portuguese bishops to discuss the report.
And in slightly lighter news, a man in Spain has won the right to walk down the street naked in his home village. Could you tell us more?
Yeah, nudist Alejandro Colomar has won the right to walk down the street naked in his home, in his village of Aldea on the outskirts of Valencia. The 29-year-old had faced constant fines by police who accused him of obscene exhibitionism. However, thanks to his own research, he noted that as long as there was no sexual intent, he was well within his rights, with Spain legalizing public nudity since 1988. The Spanish court agreed and struck down an earlier ruling against him, acknowledged that he was within his rights to be naked, noting that he had limited himself to only a couple of streets in his village and didn't affect public order. To attend the ruling, Colomar had turned up to the court wearing just hiking boots, however was forced to put on clothes by court security officers.
That was BFM European correspondent Cameron Adams chatting about the war in Ukraine, Scottish First Minister Nicola Sturgeon's resignation, industrial action taking place in France, and much more taking place across Europe.
Macedonia with a reggae twist.
That was Eurovision on 95BFM.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.